الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Very concise and very, very beautiful to our Rasulullah, which was recited. This is one of the numerous du'as that are recorded in the Ahadith. And the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are a treasure. Every one of them being a priceless gem in that treasure. These are an ocean of knowledge, and these du'as, they connect the servant of Allah Ta'ala with Allah Ta'ala. And after all, du'a in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described it as mukhul ibadah, the very essence of ibadah. Our entire existence, the purpose of this existence is liya'budun. Ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created insan and jinnat for our ibadat. And ibadat, the meaning of ibadat has been defined in various ways, the sum total of all is the same. One definition of ibadat is aqsa ghayatul tazallul. Aqsa ghayatul tazallul, which can be just summed up as utmost and total humility before Allah. And this humility at its peak, this humility is manifested when a person begs of Allah. And that's what his dua is all about. Unfortunately, very often our understanding of dua is some recitation. Indeed, there are things to be recited also. On the various occasions, person wakes up in the morning, already they are what we call musnoon du'as, ad'iyah and asura. There are recitations also. They are in a form of azkar as well. Person wakes up, so he recites the du'a. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Very simple words, very short, concise, very simple words. Person translates it. Person with a little bit of Arabic understanding also might be able to understand it and translate it. Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah Ta'ala. Ahyana, alladhi ahyana, who brought us to life. The word ahyana from hayat. Very simple word. Any person who doesn't know too much Arabic, who knows a little, will understand it. Ba'da ma amatana, the word maut. After having given us death, he brought us to life. Wa ilayhi nushur, and he'll be resurrected and gathered in the day of Qiyamah again. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will return. Very simple. But if we have to try and go into the depth of it, we'll never reach the bottom. So much in this one dua alone, that if a person really recites this dua with that true consciousness, then he'll gain the ma'rifat of Allah. That he's now opened his eyes. His eyes haven't opened because he decided to open it, because he set some alarm, because he is very energetic and fit. He's not ill, he's not strapped up to some machines and can't wake up. He's healthy, he's fit. So now he woke up. No, he's reminding himself, I didn't wake up at all on my own accord. I woke up because Allah Ta'ala allowed that to happen. Otherwise, many a person in utmost fitness went to sleep, but he didn't wake up in dunya the next morning. He was buried the next morning. Because Allah Ta'ala didn't will him to continue in this dunya. His life came to an end. The lifespan that Allah Ta'ala had given him, that expired. So despite his health, despite his fitness, despite everything, but he didn't wake up in dunya. So now the person's eyes open, he's recognizing the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and acknowledging it. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah Ta'ala. Not my doing, it's not my ability, it's not my achievement, it's not me anything. It's all about the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So now already this is only the first word of the first dua of the day. It's only still the first word of the first dua of the day. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, all praise due to Allah Ta'ala who brought us to life after having given us death. A person goes to sleep is like a dead person. He doesn't know what's going on around him, can't hear. Somebody's talking, but he's fast asleep, he hasn't heard anything. Somebody came and went, he saw nothing, because he's fast asleep. That's exactly what happens to a person when he passes away. People are talking around him, things are happening around him. He can't hear what's going on, he can't see anybody. So the sleep is a sister of death, and it's a reminder that one day, this is what's going to happen to me as well. Everything is about life and death in dunya. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. I'm living, one day I'm going to die. Though that's not the end of life. It's the end of worldly life. But life will continue in the qabr. It will continue until qiyamah and in this eternity of life. Allah Ta'ala take us and grant us an eternity in Jannah. So this is still only the first dua of the day. But if a person has recited this consciously, that I'm living, but one day I'm going to go. And how I live is how I will go. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ. How I live, that's how I'll die. There's been so many incidents, especially recently as well. MashaAllah, people who were very conscious of deen, conscious of Allah Ta'ala, conscious of doing the right thing. Being insan, sometimes any person can slip up, trying to always be doing the right thing, always being in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. There's been not one, two, three, so many incidents in the recent past of people who passed away, and the last moments of this, mashallah, went in such an ajeeb way. Somebody is on a ventilator, and he somehow, whatever he was on, and then he takes it out, he insists on it being taken out, and then he is reciting kalima repeatedly, and then saying some things which are completely linked to connecting to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, passes away on that. Somebody is passing away on taking the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Somebody is reciting some Quran Sharif. Kama tahyawun tamutun. These people, mashallah, make that effort, live their lives like that. So they went like that. So now this is already the reminder right at the beginning of the day. The person is reciting this dua consciously, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. This is a very, very temporary place. Dunya, how long? All the precautions somebody can take to look after himself, the security, whatnot. But how long? Every person has to one day go. Nobody is going to remain forever. And that time is appointed. That time is fixed. And it won't go 1 second before or after. So eventually every single person has to leave. But that is not the end of it. Wa ilayhi nushur. The whole reminder of prepare for the day of Qiyamah. Prepare for the accountability of that day. Prepare for the hisab and kitab. For the deeds that are going to be reckoned with. So now this is just one dua, and if you look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole day was filled with dua. And every dua has this very deep meaning in it, and this potential to connect a person to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala depending on how much he latches onto it. Depending on how much he takes of it. How deep he goes into it. That one luqma and that one morsel that he takes, in one hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that Allah ta'ala becomes happy. Allah ta'ala becomes happy with that person. يَأْكُلُ الْلُقْمَةَ فَيَحْمَدُ اللَّهِ يَأْكُلُ الْأُكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدُهُ. He eats a morsel and he praises Allah ta'ala. وَيَشْرَبُ الشُّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدُهُ. And he takes a sip and he praises Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala becomes happy upon this person. He's eating to fulfill his need. Sometimes he's fulfilling just beyond his need too. He's just wanting to enjoy what he's eating. Now he ate that morsel. He ate something that was, mashallah, very delicious. And he was enjoying it. And he's eating in relish and enjoyment. But he recognized Allah ta'ala in that. That it is not the relish that came out of this in itself. Allah ta'ala wills this will have no taste. It will be tasteless. And if Allah ta'ala wills, it can have all the taste. But in my mouth, it can be tasteless. How many times a person is eating the best of food, but his mind is in such a turmoil, his heart is such grief, for example, that food, somebody else is eating it with relish, for him it's tasteless. Same food, somebody else is eating it with relish, but his heart and mind is in such a state, he can't taste anything out of it. He is just eating it for the sake of somebody told him, no, you must eat something now. You haven't eaten the whole day, so he's forcing himself to have a few morsels. But he's got no appetite in them. Left now. So who put the taste in it and who made it possible to taste it? Inshallah. In that one luqma, he recognized that this is the doing of my Rabb, not mine. No achievement of me. I haven't done anything. And at the most, I could go and maybe plant this somewhere, or buy it from somewhere, and prepare it in some way. But who put that flavor in it? So, you know, the spice, but who put the flavor in that spice? And who made this have all those various vitamins and the proteins and the carbohydrates and all the various things that are it's providing the different foods? Where it came from? So now he's reciting some words of shukr during the course of that meal. Every now and again, he ate one morsel of food and he said, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr. He took a sip of water or some drink and he praised Allah tabaraka. Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, on this also Allah ta'ala became very pleased with him. He recognized Allah ta'ala. Now this is the value of these du'as, the value of these recitations, we may call them if you wish. So this is a very, very important aspect in a mu'min's life. That he should have these du'as in his life. He should learn them. Small, simple du'as they are. They don't even take time to learn and hardly take any time to recite through. It takes 10 seconds to recite most of them. Some maybe 20 seconds. And a few here and there might take 1 minute. Very few beyond that will take a little more. So it takes half a minute and 1 minute. To recite these du'as, but each one of these du'as connects a person with his Rabb. Connects a person with Allah. Among these many, many du'as, one is, as we said, these are du'as which are in the form of recitations, but then there are du'as which are to be asked, which are to be begged from Allah Tabaraka. There are various du'as that have been recorded in the hadith which Rasulullah also made on various occasions. We should learn these du'as. Some of them, every now and again, try to learn something and include them in our du'as consciously. Among the many du'as, one du'a that was recited at the beginning, again, this is a very, very concise du'a and has so many lessons in it for us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah, Allahumma yas'aluka as-sihha. This is ta'aleem for us. But look, these are things to be asked for. And these are things that are of importance as well. So the first thing that Rasulullah asked for, Allah, I ask you for good health. Good health is a great ni'mat of Allah. Person in good health can do that which he can't do when he is not well. Person is in good health, he can come to the masjid and perform salah with jama'ah. But he's sick now, he can't make it to the masjid. He's sick, he is unable to walk, he's unable to move sometimes. He can't, but the person who was well, he could come. What a great ni'mat. That he could come to the house of Allah. Person who is well, he can exert himself in ibadat. He can make some nawafil as well. But the person who is ill, he is barely able to make his faraiz. Now the person in good health can do so much more. The person in good health, he can go and help somebody. But when he's not well, he might need somebody's help. So obviously all this, these are very great things that a person can go and be in the house of Allah Ta'ala. He can exert himself in ibadat. He can spend some extra time in tilawat. He can be of assistance to somebody. He can do many things. All this is Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat that comes to the ni'mat of health. Therefore, this is the ta'lim. And in that is the lesson that one should look after his health. He should eat in a way that will protect that health. Should not expose himself to such foods, etc., that are harmful to him. Things that are filled with all kinds of things and preservatives and whatever else. So many chemicals. Sometimes all this non-stop, a person is just all the artificial things. You eat wholesome things. And all the various things that go along looking after one's health, exercising. Obviously all this in moderation within the limits of Shariat. Many a times people take something from somewhere and apply it as they understand. Somebody took exercising, very good, mashallah. One should have good health, so he should exercise. So what he decided to do now? Have to exercise. So now he went to the gym to exercise. And what's happening in the gym? All the kind of fitna that one will have to look for in 10 different places outside is all in one place inside. All the nudity and the music and the intermingling, all the avenues of zina and whatnot is all gathered in one place. Now he found that place to exercise. Whereas which kitab comes that now to exercise the person has to go to the gym? His hope is good enough. A brisk walk is sometimes more than adequate. But bottom line is, the Shariat is our basic guide. And in everything that will be the standard. That is what we will look at first. And within the limits and framework of Shariat, whatever has to be done will be done. So in any case, that's the first part of it, the good health. But then a very, very specific thing Rasulullah SAW can ask for, Allahumma inni as'aluka siha wal iffa. And I ask for chastity. Now, who is asking? Rasulullah SAW was on the peak of every good. This is ta'lim to his ummah. That you should be asking this, and you should be conscious of this. That if you want good health, then what's going to protect that health is chastity. And if you are going to compromise chastity, the health is not going to be there. Health is going to be gone. This is not the only thing, but in this particular dua, this is the highlight. Other things will also affect health. But this is the highlight in this particular dua. That a person wants to protect his health, but he doesn't want to protect his chastity, that won't happen. His health can't be protected without protecting his chastity. Protection of chastity is in every sense. Person saves himself from zina, he saves himself from zina of the eyes, saves himself from zina of the heart. So all this will impact on his health as well. This is just a very one dimension of it. It obviously will not just impact, will destroy his spiritual health, but it will also impact on his physical health. Anything haram for that matter, it has an impact on a person's physical health. If he eats haram food, it's going to impact on him physically. If he commits haram of some sort, it's going to impact on him physically, in some way or the other, in some degree. That illicit relationship is going to harm him. Spiritual health is going to destroy him. Even physically. Even the zina of the eyes. So this iffat and this chastity of every facet, protecting the eyes from haram, protecting the heart from being engaged in, deliberately engaged in haram, that too is against this chastity. That will impact on things also. Much detail in it, no time to go into those details, and neither is that necessary now. The point is that this is the lesson, and the lesson that Rasulullah is giving us through this dua, that you want to protect your health. Among the most important things, protect the chastity, wal iffa. And then further, wal amana. Allah, I ask you for amana, for trustworthiness. This trustworthiness, amanat, is not confined to being trustworthy in terms of money, in terms of material possessions. That is obviously part of amanat. Somebody else's amanat now, somebody gave us some money to look after, gave some item to look after. It's amanat to look after it. And to do something that will compromise that, that is a breach of amanat. It is definitely also part of amanat. But amanat is far beyond that. It's not confined to that. It's much more. In the Hadith Sharif, in the words, from the teachings of the Sahaba Ikram, there are many aspects that are gleaned in this regard. And in one Hadith of Rasulullah SAW also, there's various aspects that have been listed as part of amanat, all these various aspects. Even wudu has been described as amanat. Eyes are obviously an amanat. The heart is an amanat. Hands and feet are amanat. So now when a person is asking for trustworthiness, he's asking to be granted that level of trustworthiness that he uses all these amanats correctly. Somebody lent us his car. So now, obviously, the car, there are certain norms within which it is used. Acceptable norms. A person will drive, so he'll drive up to a certain speed. So now the speed limit is 120. If somebody now is driving at 130, nobody's going to take notice of that or make that an issue that now it's 120, but you're at 130. But if he starts driving the car at 150 and 160, only those are going to be too pleased about it. You see that this is not the way I drive my car. This is not the norm. So you have not used it within the limits that have been understood. So now this is not the way that you have fulfilled the amanat. This was given to you to use, so you have to use it within those norms. You exceeded it, so you have breached the amanat. Now he's screeching the tires around and doing various things which are not meant to be done with that car. That is now against the dictates of that amanat. So now to misuse somebody's car or use it in a way that he is not happy with, that is understood to be a breach of amanat. Allah Ta'ala's gift of eyes, and to use it against Allah Ta'ala's command, is that not a breach of amanat? To use the tongue against Allah Ta'ala's command, engage it in ghibat, engage it in vulgar languages, in cursing and derogatory talk and all kinds of evil, is that not the misuse of the amanat of the tongue? Going to places of haram, is that not misusing the amanat of the legs? Engaging that heart in haram, is that not misusing the amanat of the heart? Amanat of the mind? None of these things are insan's possessions. It's all from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And therefore, he'll be questioned about it. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Allah Ta'ala says, verily the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all this will be questioned about in the day of Qiyamah. How he will be questioned? Why will he be questioned? Because not his. He has been entrusted with it. Now, how did he use this trust? He'll be questioned about it. So now this is the link. Now he's asking, Ya Allah, grant me this amana, this trustworthiness, so that I can use all these trusts and these amanats in the correct way. So now this iffat and this chastity will be achieved if there's amanatdari, this trustworthiness. Because now he'll use every limb within the limits that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. Automatically that will protect his chastity. He uses his eyes correctly, he uses his ears correctly, his tongue correctly, and every limb of his body correctly. That will be the automatic safeguard of his chastity. Now he wants to protect his health, he's been told you protect your chastity, and for that you develop trustworthiness. Ask for it also, and work for it as well. One is khalq. Khalq is a person's physique, his external self, how he has been created in terms of his size. Somebody is tall, somebody is not so tall, somebody is bigger built, somebody is smaller built, somebody is one color, somebody is a different color, somebody has certain features, somebody has some other features. All this is not in anybody's control. And this is not something that a person can do anything to change. This is as Allah Ta'ala created somebody. Allah Ta'ala has left the door open in terms of khuluq. Khalq is his external self. Khuluq is his internal qualities, his akhlaq, all his attributes. That Allah Ta'ala has left the door open, each person can make an effort to improve it. And Allah Ta'ala made those incidents open for us, that people had the worst of akhlaq. But then, they turned their lives around. People who were thirsty for people's blood, killing at random, looting, not interested in who dies and who cries. But when the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala came, they were ready to give their lives for the benefit of others. They were looting other people's things, but now they were ready to stay hungry to feed others. So this can change. Person makes the effort for it. So now this is that part of akhlaq. And therefore the next thing asked in the hadith sharif is, wal amanata wa husnal khuluq. Because, Ya Allah, grant me good character in its entirety. Because amanat is a part of husn khuluq. Amanat is a part of good akhlaq. And if a person has good akhlaq, things don't survive in isolation. Things don't survive in isolation. Person says, I'll just only do one thing, I won't do everything else. That one thing will fall apart. You won't be able to manage it all on its own only. Just won't do anything else. I'll just keep up with this one thing. Meaning there's a lot of fundamentals of being. Say, no, I'll just do one thing only. The rest I'll do what I want. That one thing will follow. So he has to do everything. That is why there's so much of optional ibadat as well. Because this gives support to the faraiz. The person now is told, no, you perform the farz, that's a farz. But now the sunnats also, sunnat muakkada, sunnat ghair muakkada. On top of that, there's nawafil. A person who's very, very conscious about his sunnats, he'll never ever miss his farz. That sunnats become the safeguard for his farz. And now sometimes he might end up missing his sunnat, but somebody is very conscious of the sunnat ghair muakkada also. His sunnat muakkada will never get neglected. Sometimes in the sunnat ghair muakkada might get left out. But he's very conscious even of his nawafil, where he's going to miss out the sunnat ghair muakkada. Now that has protected the farais even more. It's not just, well, okay, by the way. No, no, no. All these things are not by the way. It all provided tremendous support. So now this person wants to maintain his amanat. But if he's going to maintain only amanat and nothing else from good akhlaq, that amanat also will fizzle out. Because other things will all just eat it up. So therefore, Ya Allah, I want husni khuluq and good akhlaq in entirety. Amanat is also part of it. All the rest of good akhlaq. Just me with this. So now all the facets of good akhlaq, this is in the hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes this as the perfection of iman. Akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa. Person with the most perfect iman, obviously having fulfilled the fundamental requirements of Iman. His faraiz, wajibat, sunnah nadir, he's staying away from haram. But then who reaches the peak? The person who performs the most tahajjud. Very good, mashallah, what he's doing. But that's not the end of it. That's not the perfection. The person who's very charitable, mashallah, excellent. That too is not described as the perfection. The person who has many other... The person who has the best akhlaq. He's got all the things in place. It's not that he's not performing his salah and got good akhlaq only. Or he's involved in haram also and got good akhlaq. So his iman is perfected. No. That doesn't work. He's fulfilling the requirements of deen. Staying away from haram. Then now he's improved his akhlaq. And he's developed his akhlaq. Nabi Islam says he has the most perfect iman. Akmalul mu'minin iman. So now therefore this dua, husnul khuluq, Allah bless me with good akhlaq. And that person will be able to adopt and maintain good akhlaq, wa rida bil qadr. Allah grant me raza and be pleased with your decree. Now things happen, things are up and down, some things go just how a person wants it, and some things don't go how a person wants it. And sometimes something goes against a person's, his temperament and nature, whatever else. But when he keeps looking to the reality, this is all from Allah Ta'ala's side. I have to submit to Allah. Then in all conditions, he can still maintain good akhlaq. Being insan, he'll feel what he feels. He'll feel emotions, he'll feel pain, he'll feel hurt sometimes, he'll feel all things. But he's looking at reality and he can maintain the good akhlaq. He doesn't fly off the rail and lose it. All the terminology that we use to justify the things that we do and say out of turn. No, he remains composed. He doesn't lose his composure. He doesn't go out of control. He doesn't start behaving in a way that he's going to regret tomorrow. Because he's looking at the reality. And when he looks at the reality, it quickly composes him. This is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything has an ajeeb sequence in it and a link to it. This is just one of the many, many du'as, beautiful and deep du'as. Every one is a priceless gem. Everyone has such deep meaning in it. It's for us to latch onto it, to take this to heart, to practice on the lessons therein, and we will see the benefit that it will bring to us in dunya already, but it will bring to us in the akhirat, we can't imagine as well. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, give me all of us a tawfiq, and give us a tawfiq of making dua a part and parcel of our life, and practicing on the various lessons of this dua as well. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين